for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. First up this week, the man who came back down from the Football League to take on his current club, and in a few short months has some favourites for the National League title and in the semi-finals of the FA Trophy. Always great value, we speak with Dave Challoner, the manager on his spell so far at Stockport County, and what the next few weeks may bring. It's FA Trophy and FA Vars semi-final weekend, single-legged affairs and a place at Wembley at stake. Philonets fills us in with the stats and facts with his FA Vars Factfile hat on and tells us about his FA Cup 150 book, long-listed for the Sports Book of the Year awards. Hoping for one of those Wembley spots is Newport Pagnell Town boss Gary Flynn. Already creating history, his side hosts Hamworthy Town on Saturday and possibly go into the game as underdogs. But he's pretty confident this side, who have done him so proud in the FA Vars this season, can find the form to propel them and their club to the final of the Great Cup competition. An additional guest this week in the form of one of our already newly crowned champions. At Step 5, promoted from the Combined Counties Premier North, Hanworth Villa. The highest ranked side still unbeaten in the league this season with a whopping 2.8 points per game. We speak to record-breaking goalkeeper Terry Buss on topping 800 appearances for the club he first represented as a 16-year-old and who he hopes to turn out for once again next season in Step 4. First though, four more games to complete the unbeaten season. Rounding off the show, editor-at-large at the non-league paper, Mr. Matt Badcock, discussing England C, managerial changes, plus the usual roundup of the week's news and what we can expect to read in the weekend's edition. Plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it's semi-final time in both the FA Vars and the FA Trophy, and my first guest is no stranger not only to the show or to the trophy or to lifting it. It's been a whirlwind 12 months for him, a man probably in more demand for interviews than the Prime Minister himself. Some would say he should maybe throw his hat into the ring for that job too, but true to form, he always has time for us, and so it is a pleasure and an honour to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Stockport County, Mr. Dave Challoner. Welcome back, Dave.
Thanks, Tim.
It's always good to have you on. Now, we spoke to you in November. You just left a job in the Football League with Hartlepool to take on the role at Stockport. The club were ninth in the National League and about to travel to Bolton for an FA Cup first round game, your first match in charge. And since then, you played, 22 league games, notched 19 wins, two draws, one defeat. You sit 11 points clear at the top of the table. You've beaten Bolton Wanderers in that legendary FA Cup first round replay. And now you've got an FA Trophy semi-final this weekend at Wrexham. Not a bad few months after getting Hartlepool promoted back to the Football League via the playoffs in the summer. Do you ever have time to reflect on it all?
Not at the moment. I think in terms of the Hartlepool stuff, absolutely, you get time to, I suppose, reflect in what was a quick turnaround for us. But straight away, your focus turns to Football League and trying to get a squad together in a short space of time for that to, I suppose, hit the ground running and not lose momentum. Since coming here, it's been more difficult to do, if you like, because you are thrust straight into it. So, as you said, the first game against Bolton is almost a little bit of a baptism of fire in terms of going into it, and people say it's a free hit. But what you want to do is you want to try and pick up some momentum as quickly as you can, and that gave us the opportunity to do that. And I suppose almost reinvigorate some optimism into the fan base and into the supporters, which we did. And to be fair, the lads after that have been fantastic. We've got real momentum, a real identity about ourselves in terms of what our expectations are of each other. And I think we now look like a team on the pitch and a club off the pitch that really wants to push forward and progress.
Yeah, I mean, you've given high praise to the players there who have worked really hard to get you there. And back in November, I mentioned that you had a 54% win ratio as a manager, which was impressive enough as it was. Your Stockport career now reads with an 82.8% win ratio. Even for somebody like you, who's fairly modest, that must put a big grin on your face.
It absolutely does. I hope it stays there. I imagine it won't over the course of hopefully a long period, but we've got ourselves ahead of the curve a little bit in terms of that, like I say, in terms of that win ratio. We know, obviously, from our side of it, if we can keep it anywhere near there, then we give ourselves a great chance. But no, I think you hope that you come in and you can start in a positive manner. But to put the amount of wins together we have, and listen, you know, I suppose over the course of time, you're always going to lose games and potentially you're always going to draw games. The run we're on at the moment has been certainly unique in terms of my career, in terms of the amount of solely wins and that unbeaten run over. I think we're 21 games at the moment. To have 20 wins out of 21 in that is phenomenal. And like I said, long may it continue.
Yeah. And when we did speak in November, you mentioned part of the pull to the new role as well as the project was being closer to home and spending more time with your family. And I suggested we might even get a happier Dave and a more effective Dave too. It seems like we were all right on all accounts.
Yeah, it has. It's been great. Sometimes within football, you have to put on an outward look that things are all singing and all dancing and great, but it's tough. Managing is a tough role. All managers will tell you that. It's certainly a lot easier when you're winning, but it is all encompassing. It is 7 days a week. It is all through the summer. You're never off your phone. You never stop thinking about things that happen. So even from my perspective, to be closer to home and be half an hour from home allows you time to, I suppose, do other things. Not being constantly in the car, driving 2 and 3 hours and being stuck in traffic. And I suppose using that time effectively as you can in terms of phone calls and things. But to be able to have a bit of time where you can focus on yourself and focus on your family and know that you're going to be home at an hour or where you can spend some time together. It does make for a more healthier lifestyle, really, in terms of what you can do, and like I say, allows you to be happy. And to be fair, that happiness is only further enhanced by the fact that winning football matches at present.
Yeah, you had a two-year spell at the club as a player. Has that knowledge of the expectations, the desires of the fans, etc., has that helped in you hitting the ground running since you've been in that role?
I think I knew what the club was about, but the club's a very different club now than what it was, like I say, 20 years ago when I was here as a player. I think my experience at Hartlepool has helped more, if you like, in the fact that you go into a football club that has a prestigious past in terms of being in the Football League and are a game away from the Championship, has all of a sudden had a little bit of disappointment, has found themselves out of the league, and being able to, I suppose, turn that round and get that club on the front foot and leave them in the Football League in a good position has certainly helped coming in here, in terms of how you go about things and how you can use certain parts of it to get supporters on side and what supporters expect. And they're very similar in terms of clubs. There are a lot of teams within the National League that I suppose fall within that, in everything but name are Football League clubs, but find themselves in this division. So this is, like I say, another opportunity, another chance that we think we can move the club forward. And obviously the aim is to make sure that in 6 weeks' time or so that we're a Football League club once again.
Yeah, and that expectation is so big, you know, after a decade of non-league football now for the Hatters. But you've got this semi-final, one game away from a Wembley final at this weekend. Is that the most important thing right now?
It is. I think what we do this Saturday, which has been different to the previous, I suppose, rounds, is that we don't follow up with an important league game on the Tuesday. I think the last two rounds we played, we were going to go to Bromley away on the Tuesday evening, and we were playing Notts County at home on the Tuesday against obviously teams that are in and around us and up the top end of the table. So our focus may slightly have been more towards those Tuesday games. And as I've said prior to those games, if we were given a choice of winning one of them, you'd win the league game. We're all greedy and probably over ambitious, and I suppose have the opportunity where we don't have to make a choice. And in all those instances, we won both them games, the league game and the cup game. Saturday's a little bit different. We've got a full week to our next fixture. There will be some focus on that, if you like, in terms of we won't be risking players that may be carrying a little bit or an injury or maybe something. But the team we put out ultimately will have an opportunity to try and get us to a Wembley Cup final, something that would be great reward for everybody. Certainly from a supporter's perspective, I can vouch for that. There's no better day to have, and certainly from the player side of things, as a young player, as a young person, if you like, growing up, that a big ambition of everybody's would be to play in a cup final and potentially lift a trophy at Wembley. I've been really, really fortunate to be able to do that, and I can guarantee it's a great experience and one that you'll remember for a lifetime.
Yeah, and I rightly want to blow smoke up your backside, because you know what you've achieved has been fantastic, but it's also fair to say it's not all been plain sailing, is it? I remember talking to you in 2019. You were manager at AFC Fylde, and you've been defeated 3-0 by Salford City, and it hurt. And amongst all the success, is it those gut-wrenching moments that makes you dig deep to strive for more success and sort of want to get some of the younger players through it and enjoy those same experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. Every experience makes you stronger. And go back a little bit, like I say, a little bit further. I remember, again, back to the foul days, sitting or standing on a field at North Ferriby when we just lost the playoff final in extra time. And decisions not going your way. And at that point, sort of thinking all of that hard work and effort through a season is decided in one instance. The Fylde game at Wembley, that last half an hour when you're 3-0 down becomes a lonely place. And you do probably for the first time in ever really in a football match get a chance to, I suppose, reflect on what's going on. But they do, they make you stronger. I think it's important that as we said with the players, that the players recognise that a big part of football is unfortunately losing, and there's no better thing than winning. So I don't think you'll ever take it for granted. And you can, as I said previously, you can learn from all those experiences, good and especially bad.
Yeah, and the week following that 2019 playoff defeat, you went on to beat Justin Edwards, Leighton Orient 1-0 and lift the FA Trophy at Wembley. Is it that win or the playoff defeat then that you'll be using in your team talk on Saturday to get the best out of your players?
Both, probably. As I say, the opportunity to play at Wembley is a huge one. What we've got to do is, I suppose, once we're in the run that we're on, it becomes pretty simple for us. It's about repetition and it's about being the best version of us that we can be, regardless of what opposition's in front of us, and doing what it's safe. The players have found over the course of the last 3 months, they've found a way to win regardless of the opposition, and we'll have to do that on Saturday. I think we're fortunate in the fact we have an experienced group that have won things, experienced group that are used to high pressure games. And there'll be no better game to sort of play in than going away to Wrexham in a semi-final with close to 10,000 people there, 9,000 of which will be Wrexham fans, and it will be going into the sort of Lions dead a little bit, but it's there when you do really find out about players, and I certainly trust our group to be able to go and show what they're about. They're massively motivated, regardless of the game we're playing in, whether it be, as it was Tuesday, a Cheshire Senior Cup game, whether it be a league game, whether it be a five-a-side on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday when we're training. So we'll use all the, I suppose, the bits we've had previously. But ultimately, the players need to go out there and perform, and I'm really confident that we'll do that.
Yeah, a lunchtime kickoff at Wrexham. So come Saturday afternoon, when the rest of us are all just getting ready for kickoff, whoever's left in the FA Trophy will be known. One club will be happy, one club less so. Is it going to have an impact, though, on the National League title?
I don't think so. It's the way we're looking at it, it's a one-off game. I think we've 9 league games to go. It would be great from our perspective to have something to look forward to at the end of the season. But let's be clear that the game after Saturday, if we are successful, is at the end of the season. We've 9 games to go. And our focus is, again, and will be after Saturday, we'll be on winning as many of those games as we can. and keeping our run going. We know that in, I think, 4 or 5 weeks' time, we'll be back at Wrexham to play in a league game. I don't think it'll have a bearing on that. I'd imagine over the next 4 or 5 weeks, there'll be a few twists and turns along the way. And that's, again, a game that is further down the line for us and could, that, again, have significant impact in what the league table looks like. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, you say 9 league games to go. You're only, 21 points off topping the 100 points. Would that be a great way to crown a season as champions?
Oh, absolutely. Where we are now, I'd absolutely take 98 because I think Wrexham can get 98 and we've got to play them. So listen, if it takes a whole lot less to get there, then so be it. Fundamentally, it's about at the end of the season being a football league club, and regardless of that, what points total that is, it will be a fantastic achievement and a fantastic feeling. But we still know, as close as we potentially are to it and as close as we've got ourselves, we're still a long way away. And we've still got a really humble and motivated group that know that the biggest part of the season for us is still left to go.
Yeah, so a busy couple of weeks, a few weeks ahead of you, a busy 12 months behind you. Any chance that the Challengers might get a holiday this summer?
We've looked at it. We're very hopeful. We've got, unfortunately, our eldest son he's in his first year at Durham University doing engineering. So we've got to work around his exams. But we're very, very hopeful that we will be able to see some sun at some point, hopefully in somewhere where we have to get on a plane rather than in a car.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing some beach photographs of the Challoner toes. Dave Challoner, best of luck at the weekend. Thanks for joining us as ever on the Non-League Football Show, and look after yourself.
Cheers, Tim. Take care.
So as well as the FA Trophy semi-finals, it is also the semi-final stage of the FA Vase. There is only one man to turn to open up our coverage. And just like my first guest, he's a man in demand. And we are very grateful for his time and his contribution and willingness to return to this show. It's a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show to FA Vase Fact File, Mr. Phil Annetts. Welcome, Phil.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back, Tim. Good to say hello to you again. Always glad to come and say hello.
And it's always a pleasure to have you on. I mean, firstly, congratulations. For those that don't know, wearing his other hat at FA Cup Factfile, Phil wrote and self-published a book entitled FA Cup 150. I was lucky enough to get an early copy, and I think we've celebrated it fairly well ever since, but not as much as Phil this week. FA Cup 150, the book has been long-listed for the Football Book of the Year in the Sunday Times Sports Book Awards in association with the Football Writers Association. Chuffed, I would suggest, doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, it's phenomenal to have the book recognised by the FWA. It's, when I set out on this labour of love, I couldn't have imagined that it would have got such a reception. I was just pleased to actually have got it published and get it out there. So it's really, really good to know that others think what I've produced is of value enough to be considered for such a prestigious award. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm lucky enough to have a number of people come to me with various ideas, and most of them are just ideas, and they never actually see fruition. But I've seen you put in the hard graft and the hard work and everything that went into this book, and then also self-publishing it as well was a massive feat to achieve this. So many congratulations from everybody involved in the Non-League Football Show, and I'm sure our audience as well.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Tim, and thanks for everyone who supported me and the book. There's still obviously plenty of copies to get hold of, so if you're still interested and you want to get hold of it now, you can still do that by going to my website, facupflatfile.co.uk.
You are a man in demand now, I guess, so I can't take up too much of your time. FA Vase semi-finals this weekend, just the two matches. Let's start with Newport Pagnell Town against Hanworthy United. Newport Pagnell, United Counties Premier South, one of three clubs, I believe, to be making history to get this far in the competition.
Yeah, that's right. Three of the four are appearing in the semi-final for the very first time, as are Hanworthy United, the opponents for Newport Pagnell Town. So both of them have had 20-odd campaigns a piece, and in the last four for the first time, as I said. And they both started off their campaigns this season as far back as the second qualifying round. So back then, they might not even imagine still standing now. So it's quite a feat to see two new clubs at this stage. And obviously, as a consequence, the winner will be in the final for the very first time.
That's a great stat, isn't it? Yeah, coming from those qualifying competitions all the way through to Wembley, it's going to be something that will keep the historians amongst us entertained. And I'm sure this game will as well. Hanworthy currently top of the Wessex League, possibly their last chance to win the FA Vars before being promoted above it.
Yeah, this is quite a common path, isn't it, for clubs to do very well in the Vars and in the league at the same time. And that's why we always see a good turnaround of clubs at this stage of the competition in the final. It's in a way, it's good that the game is at Newport Pagnell, because that sort of levels it out a little bit in terms of comparative league positions. And it should actually be a very, very good game. I can't wait to watch it.
You mentioned it being at Newport Pagnell, and you and I are always looking for patterns. You normally spot them way before me, but I did notice that in the competition proper this season of the FA Vars, the first three games that Hanworthy played were away. The next three were at home. They're away again on Saturday to potentially set up the biggest away game in their history at Wembley.
Yeah, that would be a great achievement. It's a nice little pattern. You're definitely learning from me, so well done on that.
I've learned from the best.
You need to give me a heads up. You're going to do it. So, you know, I need to be the one giving these stats out for you, my friend. it would be great. It's great for Hanworthy United and for Newport Pagnell Town. Both clubs have had a fantastic season and a great run in the competition. I saw Newport Pagnell in the quarterfinals, and, you know, they deserve their victory at Whitchurch Hall Port. Whoever wins, I think, is going to be deserving of a place in the final. And even the losing team can be proud of what they've achieved this season.
And we're speaking Thursday afternoon, probably one last training session for each of these sides that are involved in the competition now. Penalties, you think, are going to be high up on the agenda in those? Because I think every side has achieved a penalty win to get here.
Yeah, at least one as well, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the current rules with no extra time and no replays. It's more likely that games will go to penalties. And we know that, I think, Southall had four or so games on the trot where they went on penalties, but then ended up losing on penalties at the quarterfinal stage. Was it Tamworthy? So penalties are definitely a feature of this competition this year, and no doubt we'll see them raise their head again, either in this weekend or in the final itself.
Yeah, and the other tie this weekend sees Southern Combination League Premier side Littlehampton Town hosting United Counties League Premier North Loughborough Students. I think Littlehampton, the only side previously to reach this stage of the competition before.
That's right, yes, they are. They had one other semi-final appearance 31 years ago, so it's quite some time since they did make it this far. They're the first club actually to reappear in the semi-finals for 7 years. So wow. Glossop North End in 2015 was the last club to be in there more than one semi-final, if you like. So every set of semi-finalists in the last 7 years, apart from this season, have all been clubs who have got there for the very first time. So yeah, that's Littlehampton's 46th campaign in total. So they'll be very keen to progress into the final.
Yeah, and a slight curveball here. Could they also become the first team to make the Vars final, having previously been knocked out of the competition in the same season?
That's a question which I knew you were going to ask in advance. Could be. I'll have to check that one up, and I'll see if I can reply to your Twitter post when you put this out into the public. But yeah, I mean, they did get well beaten by Athletic Newham in an early round, but the FA decided that their opponents had played an ineligible player and then had to forfeit the tie, and Littlehampton progressed. So a bit of fortune, you could say your name is on the trophy as a consequence of something like that. But I think Loughborough Students will have a definite say in that, because they themselves are making history by getting to the semi-finals for the first time. and being the first student team, I think, to have got this far in the competition. And we'll be looking to maybe make it an all United Counties VARS final. And so it's going to be a very intriguing game between these two clubs.
Yeah, yeah. We spoke with Jamie Clapham ahead of the last round about the achievement of students to get that far. And as you say, you know, it's quite an achievement if they could make the final. Of course, we all remember Oxford University's 1874 FA Cup final win, or at least we may have read about it in FA Cup 150. You see what I did there?
You
see?
Yeah. You did. No, I like it.
But a student side making the FA VARS final would certainly, I think, attract media attention from wider than our normal non-league circles.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've all, I don't know if I'm accurate with this, but I vaguely remember they're winning some student-based competition in the last week or two. Mm. So that could be some remarkable double if they managed to win the Student Cup and the VARS in the same season.
The student double. I've had a few of those in my time, yeah. any other particular stats we should maybe be aware of going into this weekend then, Phil?
Well, I think the only one, and it's one I think I've definitely alluded to before, but, you know, this is the 48th running of the FA VARS, and it is guaranteed to be the 48th final where there is at least one club appearing in the final that hasn't done so before. And obviously in this season's competition, both clubs will be first-time finalists. So it is a fantastic competition for opening it up to all clubs at levels 5 and 6. And at the start of the season, you just never know which two of all the 400, 500 clubs that take part are actually going to make it. And it's fabulous to see fresh teams have a chance of glory.
Yeah, and We have these two games this weekend. Before we went on air, we were both discussing the hailstorms that have sort of ascended or descended on us this sunny afternoon. It'll be a cold afternoon for the semi-finals. It remind me of a non-league finals day last year when I was wrapped up. Obviously not warm enough because I think I didn't stop shivering until about November. Are you off to any particular game this weekend then, Phil, to watch in the FA VARS?
Yes, I will be heading up to the Newport Pagnell Town Hanworthy United game on Saturday. So, yes, you're right, the weather has turned for the worse. Last Saturday I was out in my shorts and this Saturday I'm going to be in the John Watson-style coat, I think. So, yes, looking forward to it despite how cold it's likely to be.
And the John Motson reference is perfect as well. Of course, plenty more stats and facts from this season's FA VARS and indeed the FA Cup and that celebrated book, FA Cup 150. Phil, tell the listeners where they can find you on social media and also the Essential website to find out more and get their own copy of FA Cup 150.
Well, I'm mainly on Twitter, as you know, if you follow this programme on a regular basis. And catch me on FA VARS Fact File for that competition and FA Cup Fact File for that other one. And yes, go to my website, facacupfactfile.co.uk/shop, where you'll be able to get hold of a copy of FA Cup 150, or you can actually get it from Amazon as well if you prefer a more traditional way of getting hold of your favourite books.
Brilliant stuff as ever, Phil. Thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show and take care of yourself.
Thanks, Tim. Speak to you soon.
So let's head on over for the FA VARS, and in fact, head to where Phil Annette will be heading this weekend. Newport Pagnell Town against Hanworthy United, quite literally the biggest match in either side's history, but with a carrot at the end that come Saturday evening, one of them will be preparing for a Wembley final in May. No pressure then. Let's find out how one of those managers is preparing for the game. So we'll welcome to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Newport Pagnell Town, Gary Flynn. Welcome, Gary.
How are we doing? You okay?
I'm good. Now, May 2019, you joined the club. Lots of ambitions, lots of hopes. In between, we've got a global pandemic that stops football altogether. And now you're only one win away from the Wembley final. Back in 2019, was that part of the plan?
No, probably not. I wouldn't say it was in the plan. It was in the descriptions, you know, to try and do well in them. But we thought we could have a successful season, to be fair. But get to Wembley would be lots of boys' dreams come true, wouldn't it?
It's every boy's dream. Ever pulls on a pair of football boots, or probably pulls on a pair of moulded blades nowadays in the modern era. But now, last year you went out in the first round of this competition. What's been the magic this season?
Players. You know, you've got to put it down to the players. We've had good recruitment after the last from last season. We had it, although the season didn't finish. It was sort of like pre-season. A long pre-season, wasn't it, from last year? So then we added one or two more. We've got a decent team together. Yeah, that's been the main thing, really. You know, players plays a big part in you know, being successful, especially in non-league.
Yeah, and we talk about players, we talk to managers, and we they say about the spirit, the camaraderie. Is that noticeable within the group that you've got together now?
Well, definitely, but most of that comes from winning, doesn't it? The success and the togetherness of the players. You know, we've got on some good runs. We've been successful. We have won some games, so that breeds a bit of confidence and enjoyment. Obviously, if the results weren't brilliant, I'm sure they wouldn't be liking each other quite as much as they do at the moment. But yes, definitely, the boys' togetherness and working for each other, battling for each other, you know, the old things that you say in football, but it's very, very important, especially at our level. You won't necessarily always have the best players, don't make the best teams, you know, and we've got some good players, but our team ethic and our squads is the best bit about us at the moment, yeah.
And you began this competition back in September in the second qualifying round. So it's been a long time even to get this far. And
yeah, it feels like it was a million years ago. It was a long time ago when we got started. Yeah, you get muddled up with where the league started and when they finished, because all the other ones that didn't. Yeah,
You had a penalty wins in the second round against Leighton Town, a fifth round against Buckland Athletic, and that one was the one where you scored an equaliser. I think it was in injury time in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in injury time.
Just to get you to spot kicks. Is it moments like that that maybe give you the goosebumps that this could be your year?
It's a possibility, isn't it? You know, we did think that. I mean, the Leighton game was a real local derby. We actually played really well in the game and probably should have been out of sight before they got a late equaliser on us, and we went for on penalties, and then around after we got ourselves a late equaliser, not playing particularly well in that game. So listen, to win these sort of tournaments, or to get as far as you can, or to get into finals, you definitely need a bit of luck, or we have. But so the other teams, you know, to the other teams, there's been quite a few penalty shootouts through the round. It's been quite close games, haven't they, for a lot of them. So yeah, we've had our luck at some points, but even that, though, the penalties we've done well at, which is all part of the football, you know, we've practiced them and worked at it. So, you know, it's not just about the luck, it's about executing it, again, down to the players to do that.
Yeah, a little bit of guidance from the man at the top as well. I mean, as a player, you feature for Newport Pagnell as well as clubs including Luton Town and Kettering, and sometimes a club just grabs you and absorbs you. Is it fair to say that whatever happens on Saturday, this club's always going to have a piece of your heart?
Yes, I mean, I moved to the town. I live in Milton Keynes, and I moved to the town, so it was close and it was local for me to come. And I did previously play for the football club, growing up. Long time ago, it seems like now, but did play for the football club. We had a few good teams when I played as well, but as some of them, all the lads that I've used to play with didn't get as quite as successful as what we are doing now. Yeah. So I've had good pleasure of telling a few of me mates that.
What about the club? You mentioned it, you know, it's close to Milton Keynes. It's quite a competitive area, especially in non-league, and that's probably notable with the two clubs from the United Counties League in the semis as well. It must be tough as a manager to attract players that are going to make the difference.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Newport's a good catchment area. You know, I mean, Milton Keynes is a big town or city, whatever way you want to call it. It's and there's been a lot of good players around Milton Keynes, and most of the time they have to get out the area to play a good level of non-league football. So Newport are certainly trying to improve that and get the best players from Newport, Milton Keynes to come to them. So, you know, getting up the levels and getting up the leagues is part of the plan. You know, Viv Cox, who's our head of football, has taken over for a couple of years, and he's pushing the club forward, which sometimes it's difficult because lots of other people have been there a long time, and it takes a bit of time to everyone to get onto the board for that. But he's got good plans, and he's putting a lot of things in place. So hopefully this helps a little bit financially, and we can make it a little bit more successful in a few more years as well.
Yeah, and you are, again, another one of those clubs that's more than just a first team, though, as well, isn't it? Disability teams, girls teams, youth teams, ladies, Sunday. It's a club, and it's days like Saturday that bring all that together and make it worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the town has been brilliant, you know, getting behind us, we've had good followings, home and away, you know, in the last round. We took over 500, maybe 600 people away from home in the last round. And the boys have enjoyed it when they've got back into town for a few nights out. They've been well received. They've got a few free drinks all over the place, so they enjoyed that a bit of it. But there's lots of youth teams at Newport. It is a good community club. You know, that is the main priority to it all. You know, the youth and the town has been come together. You know, it's helped with all the success we've had. But it's a big non-league football club for the youth setup and the girls football and that as well. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the crowds you're taking away. I think over 1,100 at the Buckland game as well. And I love the fact that looking at some of the plans for the club, because it's a massive game for the club. You know, normally, you know, maybe there might be a couple of lads in a yellow jacket doing the stewarding. I think they're probably going to be as busy as you on the weekend. But I see you've even got a fan zone, which it just shows the importance of this game.
Yes, you would. Viv did tell me, the head of football, he did tell me he was going to try and do it like something like that. I haven't got too involved with it, to be honest, but I've left them to that bit so I can concentrate a bit on the football. But yeah, they tried to get, you know, as many marquees and bars, toilets, facilities, home and away areas and stuff. So yeah, it's been a lot of work for the last sort of 3 weeks or so behind the scenes to hopefully make it go smoothly and an enjoyable game, but it's enjoyable when you win, really. That's the most important thing.
It is. And on the field then, you're Hamworthy United, your visitors this weekend, they're top of the Wessex League and having a great season. Yeah, have you been able to do your research on them?
Yeah, they've got a good TV, sort of. They're on YouTube quite a bit. Their YouTube's a little bit better than ours, which is probably good at this point of the time, but we'll look to try and improve ours. But we've watched them, and then a good friend of mine who helps out with the coaching and stuff went down and watched them as well. They're probably favourites for the game because, you know, they're top of their league. They've only lost one game all year. They're used to winning. They've got an experienced team, so we know we've got to really perform. Everyone's got to be on the top of their game to give ourselves a chance. So that's the plan. If we play well, we'll give ourselves a chance.
Yeah, and they're managed by, well, a non-league legend, I guess, in Tim Sills. Will it be rivals on the field then, whatever the result, the usual handshake and a beer in the bar afterwards?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be afterwards once it all settles down. But I'm sure he'll be just as passionate as me that he'll want to win the game. But I'm sure he'll be fine after.
Yeah. Now, a promotion probably beyond you this season with Harborough Town. Well, speeding away at the top there.
Yeah. Yeah,
you were the joint manager that saw Kempston Rovers promoted as champions from United Counties before, managed them in the Southern League. But I think you cited back when you left there a mismatch of ambition between yourselves and the board. And have your ambitions changed, or can Newport go higher and go all the way further up the pyramid?
It's the plan of the football club. You know, we've obviously the 2 years before that haven't helped in stop starts. You know, that we've had so. But yeah, they're trying to, you know, we've just put in for planning permission to have an old new sort of ground, stadium, AstroTurfs, new changing rooms, facilities and stuff. So we've got a soccer assist academy along with us now, which are quite a lot of clubs are going that route. But they're sort of like a full-time academy and they go in and do their schooling and stuff as well. So yeah, they're definitely trying to push the football club forward, Newport. And promotion, yeah, it's definitely out of the reach this season. It probably affected us a little bit, the Vars run. We've been poor after it, to be honest. If I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, we haven't been in great form since we won the last Vars game. But that's we sort of knew that might happen, but you try and do everything to prevent it, but it has happened. We have dropped a little bit in form, but I'm sure to come Saturday, the boys will be ready.
And I'm sure you'll have that dilemma that suddenly everybody's match fit, everybody's all those niggles have been run off and everybody's available. As a manager, do you do anything different for these big games?
We try not to. You know, we undenied about it. We just thought that we'll turn up for the same time, prepare the same as what we would, give a little bit of information we can about them. But like I said, we haven't been in great form, so we're trying to take care of ourselves. If we get ourselves to the levels we can get to, and we have done this season, we'll give ourselves a chance.
Well, I better let you go and organise that final training session.
Tonight. Yeah, we will do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit surprising. I've had no call-offs yet, so that's good.
So suddenly everybody's going to make sure that they make training this evening. Gary Flynn, manager at Newport Pagnell Town, best of luck at the weekend, and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Great show. Cheers, boys.
So as ever in this show, it's all about the people of non-league, and my next guest certainly has earned his stripes in that regard. This weekend, his side will lift the Combined Counties Premier North Trophy that they wrapped up just over a little more than a week ago. And for a club legend, that will probably be a very special thing in its own right. It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show to Hanworth Villa's Terry Buss. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Hiya.
Good to get you on, Terry. Now, there's something in me wishing that you were away on Saturday so that you can say that you lifted the trophy at Wembley. Wembley FC, your opposition in the league, but I'd imagine celebrating at home in front of all of those off-the-field volunteers and the fans, it's going to be something pretty special.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I'm not even sure if it is this weekend that we're getting the trophy, you know. I think it's the last game of the season.
They're withholding all the celebrations. I can understand that. In the modern world, we want all our footballers to be focused on their football. I guess then, you know, you're going to be looking to continue this weekend at the highest placed unbeaten league run in the pyramid. 30 games played out of 34, 28 wins, no defeats. That's 84 points at a whopping 2.8 points per game. Have you ever had a season like it?
No. It's been the best season I've been involved in down the club. It's been unbelievable, really, what we've done. Even when we haven't played well, we just seem to grind out results, grind out wins. The amount of clean sheets we've kept this season as well, we've kept 22 in 30 league games, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. Most, I think, I've ever kept in a season before that is about 10.
It's a very special season, but you're a very special person to Hanworth Villa as well, aren't they? I mean, legend is overused, but in the era where probably 70 games for a club is almost long serving, you've racked up over 800 appearances for the club. Do you know the exact number?
I think I'm on about 812, 813 now, something like that. Yeah, quite a few. I've been there since I was 16, so. This is like my 20th season now. I had a couple of little spells away during a couple of seasons, but I always ended up back there. That wasn't for any fault of my own, really. It was just disagreements with the managers at the time. And then after a little while, made up, come back, and I was back home again. And yeah, it's just somewhere that I can't seem to get away from. I love the place.
Yeah, you mentioned 16-year-old, I think, featuring the under-18s, your first Hanworth Villa taste. Did you ever sort of imagine that you would help the club, you know, effectively get promoted up to step four of the pyramid?
No, not really. I didn't think I'd still be playing, to be fair. Like, I've played through so many teams now. Like, the first year I played, our chairman now was the captain. Wow. Gary, I think he was chairman then as well, but he was the captain at the time. But so I played in that. So I played in about five or six different sides. So having to start again, meet people again, but this year has just been brilliant. It's been the last couple of years really since Simon took over, and Paul and Leon, Chris, and since they've come in, it's just given the club a new lease of life. Really, the players they've brought in, everything, it's just everything works at the minute. Yeah, it's just a really good place to play football.
Yeah, the coaching staff are quite a team in their own right, aren't they? And sort of well respected across the country, certainly the southeast for their coaching ability. And is that it, that they're getting the best out of all of the players?
Yeah, I just think Simon knows how to treat everyone. Really, everyone does. He's built a team of men. Really, we've got some youth mixed in, but a lot of the boys have played at a better level. So we've got like people like Michael Kamara, Tom Jelly, Jerome Federico, all won the league at Hampton a few years ago. Got Sam Merson, who was scoring goals at St Albans. So we've got players that have played a higher level, but then we've also got players that were good players at this level. So like people like he signed Rory Da Costa from Egham, a centre back. He's been brilliant since he's come in. It's just getting everyone together, and like there's no cliques in the changing room. Bedrooms together, and I think that's where most of the time leagues are won. In you can get a group of boys that will just all run through walls for each other when things ain't going well, then you're halfway there, really.
Yeah, and we often
done this year.
We often talk about the players that have dropped down from out of the pro game into non-league and then sort of found the right coaching staff around them. But equally so, where players have played at a high level of non-league and dropped down, step five where you are at the moment, and they just fall in love with the game of football again.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, a lot of the boys, they could easily still play at a higher level now. I just think sooner or later, you've got to find somewhere where you just enjoy playing. And that's when you're going to play your best. That's just part of the reason I never really looked to go anywhere. Like when I got to about 19, 20, and I thought, I'm never going to go pro. So I'd rather just enjoy playing football. Like, I just find where you're loved and where you're happy, you're always going to play your best football.
Yeah. And look,
that goes for anyone.
Looking at those 800 plus games, it looks like you collected a few medals in your time as well. Someone give me a list. The Alex Smith Premier Division Cup, the Middlesex Federation Football League Cup, the Middlesex County League Division 1 Challenge Cup twice, Southern Combination Cup twice, Middlesex Senior Cup, Middlesex County League Championships, two of those as well, and now the Combined Counties Premier Division North title. So probably a fairly big trophy cabinet you need at home too. But what's the thing you've learned most from playing non-league football, whether it's been success or failure?
I really learned most. I think I just grew up quickly. I'd say to any young players that are at pro clubs or at higher clubs, I think the best thing they could do is get game time at a lower level, because you grow up quick playing against men, playing at a young age, stands you in good stead. You get stronger, just get used to getting kicked, used to getting a bit of stick in your ears. Yeah, I don't know, really. It's a hard question.
Yeah. So when is the Combined Counties Premier Division North? It looks like I'm expecting the club will move up to the Isthmian South Central next season, step four. Are those gloves going to be ready and waiting?
Yeah, I'm going to have one more year. My wife, I don't think she'll be too happy about it, but no, I've got to keep playing. I'll play as long as I can, really. A little bit of time where I weren't playing, and I wasn't enjoying football at the time. And then obviously I started to come back again. Simon's got me falling back in love with football again and playing in this team. You sort of want to be at every training session. You want to be at every game. You just want to be around the place. So yeah, I'm not ready to stop yet. So I think as long as my body holds up, I'll keep giving it a go.
So this unbeaten record that you've got at the moment, it is the highest in the pyramid. You've only got a handful of games to play. As a keeper, do you now feel like even more pressure that you've got to be on top form for the rest of the season to make sure that you keep that record going?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we all do, really. It's not something we thought of. We in our head at the start of the season, it was all just get promoted. And then when we see the gap that we opened up at the top, it's like, right, let's get this league wrapped up, see where we are. And then, now, I know we've won it, but these last four games, I still think they're going to be quite nervy, because it's like a cup final for the other teams. playing against us. They all want to be that team to beat us. And like it, even when Arsenal went the season unbeaten, I think they wrapped up the league quite early. But the amount of draws that they got coming into the end, it will be nervy trying to do that season unbeaten. It's a massive, massive achievement at any level.
Yeah.
So, that's what we're all looking at now. So fingers crossed we can get over the line.
Indeed. Well, I wish you well at the weekend. I wish you well in those remaining games. And congratulations to yourself and everybody at Hanworth Villa. And best of luck for the rest of the season.
Oh, thank you. Cheers.
So let's round off this week's news. Time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. I'm sort of trying to work out why it's snowing and it's also sunny at the same time, and I'm freezing cold and my heating's broken at home, and it's April, isn't it, tomorrow or today when we listen to this?
I don't even know what year it is, let alone what month it is. But it sounds like you're having a good week.
Yeah, well, I think I'm having my week's slightly better than yours. But
having a great week either, to be honest. We can sort of, it's like a bit of therapy for both of us.
Non-league therapy, that's where the non-league family comes into its own. Yeah. Talking of therapy, I suppose let's start with the Wales C against England C. There was so much excitement. We spoke to Paul Fairclough last week and everybody's so looking forward to the England C game. Didn't quite turn out as we all may have hoped.
Not if you're an England fan, no. I think there's a lot of very happy Wales fans this morning and last night with their 4-0 win. It's kind of a bit of a strange one from England C's point of view, where kind of it just all sometimes happens in football. It just kind of all goes a bit wrong. Things can escalate very quickly, and before they kind of knew it, they were 3-0 down, and then Wales added a fourth. Within, I can't remember quite how long it was. You know, well within sort of the first half, and I mean Wales, took their chances brilliantly. England, see, I just thought started all right, and they looked quite confident, but Wales, I don't know where they kind of, I know sort of some of those players that have played for them have kind of played in the last two games. There's a bit more kind of continuity in their sort of squad, where they've always been open age, whereas England C went open age this first time, and it was all 15 of the 16 were sort of new caps. Ephraim Mason Clark of Barnet, who came on, has been capped before, has played in the last game against Estonia in June 2019. But so whether that had an effect, I don't know, but I think just Wales just kind of caught everyone off guard, and some couple of brilliant finishes from Will Evans and Aaron Edwards got the other two. They just sort of left England a bit shell-shocked in that first half, and I know Paul Fairclough kind of tried to sort of invoke the spirit of Wrexham and their incredible comeback against Dover last weekend, but it needed an early goal at the beginning of the second half if that was ever going to happen. It just didn't quite happen. So yeah, I mean, it's been a long wait for the game to be played. 2 years ago it should have been played, and Wales certainly enjoyed the wait. It's worth the wait for them, for sure.
And sometimes football's just like that, doesn't it? Sometimes these things don't go your way. But away from that, one piece of news that certainly grabbed me at the start of the week there, the vacant manager's role at Woking is no longer vacant, and the vacancy's moved to Yeovil, as the manager previously there has moved to Woking. It's Darren Sale, the new man, charged with helping make Football League aspirations come true for the Cards.
Yeah, I think there'll be Woking fans will be quite happy with the appointment of Darren Sale. It's sort of taken a little while since Alan Dowson left a few weeks ago now, and he and Dyer kind of stepped in and had some good results, and it's kind of been ticking on, and who was going to be the new man, and then Darren Sale's on there this week, and I think it sort of shows kind of how difficult things have maybe been at Yeovil. The fact that he's kind of left a club that, not long ago, a couple of years ago, he had him in the playoffs, so maybe that's indicative of kind of where he's feeling, where how far he's taken you over for the time being, and kind of what you can see in the project at Woking. Obviously, they've gone full time this season, and they're, you know, that is their ultimate long term ambition, is to get into the Football League, as it is for, you know, a very large proportion of the National League. But we are definitely interested in kind of, you know, last few games of the season. They're obviously well safe now, you'd say, and he can sort of start to look at and put his kind of stamp on it, and you've got some talented boys down there, good players, and how he can kind of sort of how they can finish the season and hopefully roll that into next season, I guess, from his point of view.
Yeah, it's I suppose some sort of pressure on his shoulders, but I don't know if you ever found the same. He always seems that nothing really ruffles him, Darren Sahl. So we wish him well there. I mean, elsewhere on that managerial merry-go-round, I see Martin Standen has become the latest in a long series of managers to depart from Ardsley Town, which is never a good sign for a club. But away from Darren Sahl joining Woking, the big talking point featuring non-league, mainly because it made many national newspapers and was trending on Twitter, is the situation at Staines Town. Now, the lawyer in me says we've got to be very careful with this, and this is what I point out to the students that I teach about. Yeah, I teach about media law. But there's allegations being thrown around and not fully substantiated. The gist is that the club have long been in dispute with their landlords down in LLP, and this week launched a tirade accusing them of various misdemeanours and many more accusations, all denied by with a public rebuttal statement from down in the landlords. It's not been good for non-league football, and it leaves Staines stating that they're halting all operations. The Isthmian League that they play in, and they appear to be certain to be relegated from due to their league position before all this happened. They've offered a help, postponing their fixture this weekend, but urging them to do all they can to seek a way to play their remaining games. And that, for me, that's the big thing. If Staines are expelled at this stage because they can't or won't play, it affects more than just the club and their fans.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the huge sort of knock-on effect that probably people don't think about. And I sort of know where you're coming from with people saying it wasn't great for non-league, because it's one of these sort of stories where kind of people who don't particularly know about non-league football and kind of use it as a kind of a bit of a ha-ha, let's laugh at, you know, what a good old laugh it is down there, when actually this is a very serious matter, and obviously, yeah, not the accusations notwithstanding, which are kind of incredible, really, to kind of be reading that sort of thing. I think it's not something you're sort of expected to read when you sort of click on a link to a club statement. So yeah, it is very tricky legally. But that is the kind of the big thing is, we're so close to the end of the season. If they don't play out, then, you know, it's going to be affecting, you know, clubs who've kind of been going through the season in good faith, and it will, you know, because of the results that they've got, you know, I mean, a lot of people would have taken points off them, but it will affect the table, and kind of teams who have kind of been going up for promotion and things like that. And obviously goal differences and things. So it's kind of, it is a serious thing that kind of, I know the Isthmian League, will be desperate to get it sort of ironed out as quickly as possible. Hopefully giving them the week off this week, that it will kind of buy that bit of grace. There's a bit of wiggle room in the fixture schedule. It's not like it's sort of completely stacked up like happened in previous years. And so the season finishes only a few weeks away now, really. But that is going to be the priority for everybody, and also, you know, for Staines fans, it's sort of a difficult time. They've sort of seen their club going through a really, really difficult period. It's not all that long ago they were, you know, flying high in the Conference South and, you know, getting great sort of FA Cup sort of stories and all this that's kind of coming out of them. It's kind of been sad to see. It's always been one of those clubs that, you know, you'd go there and think it was, you know, really sort of friendly, welcoming outfit. So it's, you know, obviously a lot of people affected by it, who are close to the club as well. So it is a messy situation, I'd say, the least.
Yeah, and I just again reiterate, as I tried to earlier on in the week when this came out, the important thing is to deal with the facts in this. And there were lots of people that were getting themselves confused as to who the owners of Staines were, who the landlords were, and that sort of thing. And yeah, I sound like I'm preaching to my kids, but it is a sort of if you're not fully aware, I'd just stay out of it at the moment because it is a very messy affair. And I think, as you pointed out, the Isthmian League, you know, they acted very quickly to give an opportunity for Staines and, you know, hopefully their fans and the people around them to get this season finished, get things resolved in a football sense, and hopefully there'll be a long term solution coming out very, very quickly on the back of it. But I think we needed to cover it, but it's difficult to cover, knowing all the legal ramifications and not really knowing where it's about to head. But
that's a big old job to kind of like look into. I think people need to maybe understand that sometimes, and then media, you have to kind of you're sort of held to different standards, aren't you? Than kind of a lot of stuff on Twitter and things, and you know that is one that, you know, does need to be properly done. You have to be really careful with these kind of things.
Yeah. Elsewhere, I read this week that Staveley Miners Welfare have asked the FA for voluntary relegation and from step 5 to step 6. But there was better news from Bellingham and Synthonia, who are suggesting they're now in a stronger position than they were when we reported on them earlier this season, and should be able to continue in the Northern League next term. So, you know, there's always stories at this time of the season of clubs disappearing, and I know certainly down sort of step 7, step 8, we've had a number of clubs fold again this week. I just think that the economic situation is very difficult to run a football club, not only because of the costs that come with it, but also because the people that you need to turn up week in, week out have got other commitments that they need to meet first.
Yeah, definitely going into an interesting time with all that and that knock-on effects of the daily rising costs that we're seeing. You know, you have to go and put petrol or diesel in your car, and you know we can all see, you know, that sort of, it's very real, and those are costs that, you know, non-league clubs will have to bear as well. It goes up, you know, heating and electricity and all that kind of stuff. So it's difficult. It's getting back to that sort of stage of the season, as you say. We kind of haven't had this for a couple of years, but it's well, there hasn't been that sort of movement and time pressure. Everything's kind of stagnated and the season's been finished. So we're getting back to that. There will be clubs kind of trying to make the right decisions for themselves as they should. And there'll be lots of clubs, you know, been gearing up and sort of getting ready for promotion. So we're kind of back onto that familiar kind of territory now that we haven't had for a couple of years, where there's going to be a lot of movement and lots of kind of things happening, and we always see there's always knock-on effects to these decisions for other clubs across the country.
Yeah, but now, something to get very excited about this weekend, FA Trophy, FA VAR semi-finals this weekend. We spoke to Dave Challoner, they travelled to Wrexham. It could be the top of the National League clash, but it's actually in the FA Trophy. They've got that one Saturday lunchtime, then Bromley York as well. You know, either of those games would make a really tasty final, but whoever comes out of that will be looking forward to a Wembley final, non-league finals day in May.
Yes, two huge games in the Trophy. I went down to Bromley last week and had a chat with Andy Woodman and sort of set up down there, which is fantastic. You know, the sort of the work they've been putting in, they're launching their new bar and kitchen and some food in there, which was very good. And we were kind of joking that this is their big launch on Saturday, and it could be he could have cleared it by 5 o'clock if they don't win. But I think he sort of knows that actually, whilst York are National League North and a level below, I think they know what's coming for them in John Askey's side. Got some very good players. Still full time, pretty big name in non-league and in English football, really. So that will be a very interesting semi, as will the Stockport Wrexham one, which is sort of interesting to kind of see these teams going against each other at this stage when they're kind of still in the thick of a promotion race. I mean, Stockport kind of so far clear out at the moment. I can't see how they don't go on and win the title. We were sort of slightly reluctant to say it because stranger things have happened, but you know, they are looking very well set. I mean, since Dave Challoner's come in, the record's been unbelievable. just sort of phenomenal, as we've said on here many times, just shown what a good manager he is, how well he knows this level, and kind of his decision to drop down from Hartlepool and work so hard to get into the Football League, getting up there last season, through the playoffs to come down, as you know, was it a risk probably at the time? You look at support where they were and how far off the pace they were at that time. Maybe it was, but now you look back and you can see exactly why he's done it, and the opportunity for either of those sides to go to Wembley will be massive as well. Mm. From a Stock Sports point of view, they'll be thinking that'll be a nice little way to round off the season, assuming they do win the title. The final does become comes before the playoffs this year, if that's the way that Wrexham are going to try and go. So, yeah, two huge games, the opportunity to play at Wembley, which is massive, and whoever kind of gets there will take huge support. We've seen with Bromley a few years ago, took 20-odd thousand. York, I think they've sold more than 1,000 tickets very, very quickly for the semi-final down at Bromley, and obviously been to Wembley before, but they'll take huge numbers, and Stockport and Wrexham were the same. And obviously on the same day, we'll have the whoever kind of gets through in the FA bars with two really intriguing semi-finals there as well. I mean, I sort of love this sort of stage of the competition and talking to the clubs as we did last week, and getting a feel for that sort of excitement, kind of the build-up to the games. Johnson, Newport Pagnell Town Chairman, sort of, you know, ordering in extra toilet blocks and working out outside bars and marquees to put up for everybody, and kind of all that goes into it for these sort of very special occasions. And come Saturday evening, there's going to be four groups of players who know they're going to Wembley, four groups of fans who know they're going to Wembley for what will be a really special day. And I know we sort of harp on about it, but like this time last year, those semis were behind closed doors. It's going to be fantastic to kind of see full houses at all these grounds, and people really sort of enjoying watching some players strive for the dream of playing at Wembley.
Yeah, and so we've got some fantastic FA Trophy, FA Vars games in the National North, probably quite possibly. The biggest game of the season there. Gateshead, the leaders, take on second place Brackley. And the visitors, Brackley, are just 3 points behind, but also have a game in hand. So, yeah, it really could be the fulcrum for the season, this game.
Huge game. Yeah, absolutely massive. For both sides, it would be, again, it's going to be one of those, I imagine it would be a tight encounter and can sort of go either way. Two clubs have kind of been up around it before. A couple of years ago, played each other in the eliminator of the National League North for that first sort of COVID season that was hit, when Gateshead came out on top on penalties. Kind of an incredible. I went to that one. It was the first one game I went to sort of behind closed doors like that. Shane Byrne scoring an unbelievable equaliser for Brackley straight from kickoff after Gateshead had scored at the end of the first half. He's obviously moved on now, Shane Byrne, but it will be two sort of teams who are, you know, well managed, really good managers. Obviously Mike Williamson, who's still playing for Gateshead, and Kev Wilkinney, who knows his way around and has won promotion from National League North before. Huge occasion, and this is what. Yeah, this is kind of so enjoyable about this stage of the season, where we are having these massive games now, which kind of has felt like it's been lacking in the last few years. We can go all through the steps. You know, you've got teams potentially winning titles on Saturday, and it's just kind of nice to have it all back again.
Yeah, all that excitement. The National League, the top two obviously in action against each other in the FA Trophy, but a chance for the others to maybe apply pressure, certainly gain points to finish as high as possible for those playoff spots. And again, yeah, I look down the table, there's still plenty of clubs that could still make the playoffs with a decent run, and yeah, there's some very big name clubs that aren't going to make the playoffs in the National League.
Yeah, as we always say, the numbers don't fit in the National League, even though there's extra playoff spots. The fact there's only two going up, it doesn't fit the amount of clubs who believe that they've got, you know, can get out of the division into the Football League. So there's a lot. It's kind of a long. Everything else is kind of coming to a to a climax. So, you know, there's still a few weeks. It goes into the middle of May, the National League step one. So there's still an awful lot of football to be played. But yeah, this is kind of the, if you're going to make a run for it, now's the time to do it and go in good form and get yourselves in there. We've seen some teams sort of kind of drop away a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but it's definitely not too late if they can put little runs together.
Yeah, up and down the pyramid. I'm looking at the clubs that are in form going into those playoffs, and they're the ones that you certainly wouldn't want to bet against. So plenty going on this weekend. Anything else in particular we can expect to read about in this weekend's paper, Matt?
Well, that's the bulk of it is all the live stuff because there's so much going on. Not many pages to fill this week now. I've caught up with the guys at Bury FC, especially to Andy Welsh, the vice chairman, and Gareth. You know, they sealed the title. Technically, I suppose their first full season. They did start last season before everything got stopped. But talking about that, kind of how they've built their club back up, and you know, not easy at the best of times to get a new football club off the ground, let alone when you do it in a pandemic. But they've had their first, they saw their first title last Sunday, and kind of listening to manager Andy Welsh, kind of how much he knows it means to people in the community, and kind of seeing that and how proud and emotional he was when they got themselves over the line. Kind of a similar theme at Harbour Town. I spoke to manager there, Mitch Austin. They've sealed promotion, haven't won the title yet. United County League South, Prem South. So they've guaranteed themselves a top two finish and enough to kind of go up in the shake up. But they want to go on and get the title as well. So yeah, lots going on. I'm sure Walthamstow have gone up this week as well. There's a few others that have gone up. Sheffield United have sealed their promotion, but. We kind of can't cover everyone one week. Sort of spreading it out over a few weeks. So, Hallam are going for their titles. We've got picture games from there. Step six on Saturday. So, yeah, lots going on, and it's all kind of just that sort of enjoyable part of the season where it's nice to talk about all the success and the glory that everyone's enjoying.
Yeah, it's a bit like getting into the 80th minute and you're starting to get cramped, but you know that you're going to see it through. You're going to get there because this is the exciting bit. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. And we look forward to reading the paper at the weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests, as ever, and thank you to everybody for listening. You can follow us throughout the week and throughout the season on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addicts, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA